Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this evening's worship service singing together from Psalter 198, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. We sing together 198, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 7. Scripture reading for this evening can be found again in John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1 until verse 23. The Gospel of John chapter 20. But first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 20, beginning at verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came, and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, holy Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, for the second time, on this first day of the week, we may enter again into thy house, and again we may open our sinful lips unto thee together, to cry unto thee, to pray unto thee, that almighty, holy, majestic Lord God in the heavens. And Lord, who are we to speak even unto thee? Because we read in thy word of those seraphims which cover their faces before thee and cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Give us a little impression as we come before thee in prayer. Give us true humility. Teach us to pray that we may come with a little sense of who we are and of how great thou art. And yet, may we come, open your mouth wide unto thee, looking unto thee, needing everything from thee. And may it be with a little hope, expectation, that thou would fill us, that thou would come among us tonight on this evening hour, on this day when we may remember the resurrection of thy dear Son, that thou hast sent that angel to roll away the stone, that he must come forth, that thou art satisfied with that sacrifice, and that he also of himself was raised and by the Spirit. Oh, may we see, Lord, through thy word, that in thee, that triune God, in the Father, in the Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners. Lord, we beg and pray thee, each time we gather is a new time. Each time we need thy blessings, we need thy help, we need thy grace, we need thee to look upon us in mercy and to come among us and give those blessings that no man can give us when we are called to listen to thy word, but also to preach. Lord, may we be a praying, begging congregation. May we come to thy house as a prayerful beggars at thy throne of grace. May we be in thy house, praying and crying and sighing unto thee to come, to rend the heavens and to work mightily, irresistibly. Lord, we have heard that thou hast rent that veil. What a wonder, but thou art that same almighty, powerful God who can rend hearts, hearts of stone, hearts of enemies, and thou can take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances. Thou can conquer hearts by thy grace. May it be tonight, Lord, that thou would give life to dead sinners, sinners who are living under wrath and living in peace and missing true peace. Lord, give that life, that they may come to see before thy word by the mirror of the law that they are sin, and that by thy word they may come to see that thou art an almighty, holy, just God who has made them perfect and has the right to require perfection. And without perfection, without meeting thy standard, they will forever be sent away. Lord, we know this truth. We've been taught it from a child in our homes, at school, in catechism, and also in thy house. But oh, we beg thee, the truths of thy word may come into the hearts, that it may not only be historical knowledge, that by thy grace it may become true saving grace, that sinners would be made alive, that sinners would become true repenting sinners, and that repenting sinners, by thy word, by the hearing, faith may be worked, and that there may be those grace that thou alone can work in the hearts of sinners of true repentance, but also of true saving faith. Lord, thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Come among us and work in hearts. That thou alone art the author and the finisher of faith. And remember all thy dear people. It is Easter, but in their hearts they can be so fearful, they can be so sorrowful, missing thee, as we heard in this morning. And thou art that faithful, that merciful, that compassionate, that good shepherd, who alone can comfort by thy visit and by thy word, thy dear people. Lord, come. But also tonight we will hear also of thy dear disciples, so filled with doubt, unbelief, so filled with fear, missing peace. And Lord, thou hast also visited them in thy mercy, and thou knowest tonight among us if there are those like the disciples, hearing the truth, and yet so filled with unbelief, so fearful, so filled with so many questions and thoughts and doubts. Oh, they would long to believe the truth, but they cannot. Oh, we beg thee that when thy word may be proclaimed, peace be unto you. Oh, that thou would apply it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help to proclaim thy word. But Lord, thou art the only one that can bring it into the ear and into the heart. Thou alone, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can give those blessings that we would not only hear it, but that we would truly receive it, and that there may be that true peace accompanied by thy word. Lord, we beg thee then work irresistibly, mightily with the power of thy Holy Spirit and thy word. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember then the whole congregation. Thou knowest each heart. Oh Lord, we each have a never-dying soul. And Lord, we need thy help for physical life, for all our cares, for all our needs. Remember all the sick, remember all the mourning, but we also need thee, that almighty, eternal, triune God, for our soul needs. Lord, thou alone art that one can give life. Thou alone art that one who will keep that life, who will nourish that life, instruct that life, and guide that life unto thyself. Oh, we beg thee then, thou who art that risen, living, almighty, powerful Savior, come among us tonight. Thou who seeks and saves, thou who leads thy people into the precious truths of thy word. Oh, may they hear it tonight, and that it may be a blessing. Oh, may we be given a little taste of that peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, we are only worthy of wrath. We are only worthy that thou would hide thy face, that there would be no peace, that we would not hear of it, and that we would not taste of it and experience it. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory. And Lord, thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, may we be given to plead upon who thou art, that covenant, faithful keeping Jehovah, who will seek and who will save, who will teach, who will guide and instruct a people by thy word and by thy spirit. Lord, wilt thou give much prayer tonight, personally for our own souls, for those in the congregation, but also may it be that there may be many errands and errors, that they may cry and sigh, help the sinner on the pulpit, be with his mouth, give him the unction of the Holy Spirit, man may fall away, and that he may proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and that it may be blessed to the salvation of many. Could it be, Lord, to the whole congregation? Lord, we beg and ask thee that thou would remember us in all our cares and needs, also in our responsibilities in this life. Look upon us in mercy as we are husbands and wives among us. Give us faithfulness, love, care for one another, not only for this life, but especially that we may be helpmeets for the life to come. Lord, remember all the single ones and lonely ones. Care for them. Remember those who are dating, those who are engaged, those couples who long and hope to get married. Keep them, Lord. Help them in all the preparation, and may it all be in thy favor. Lord, we beg and pray thee, help us as parents to be faithful to the promise that we have made unto thee to raise our children to the utmost of our power in the truth of thy word. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give God-fearing fathers. Give fathers that may be a prophet, a priest, and a king in their home, that thy word may be opened, that thy word may be read, and it may be blessed. Oh, that there may be that seeking thee above all else and thy kingdom, and that thou would richly bless the means of grace that we may have also in our homes thy precious word. Lord, may we lay before thee the government of Canada. Remember the Prime Minister and all those whom thou hast called. What a responsibility, and one day they must give an account unto thee. Oh, may we beg thee that thou would convert them, that thou would give the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, and that they may long to follow thee, to obey thee. Lord, remember also that bill that is before the Senate now. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, the hearts of all those in the government are in thy hands, and thou can turn them like rivers of water. Oh, we beg thee that thou would turn them to cast out thy bill, and that there may be freedom, freedom to proclaim thy word. Oh, may we beg it, Lord, for the honor, for the glory of thy name, and for the coming of thy kingdom. Lord, we pray and beg and beseech thee. Remember all the needs also on the mission field. Oh, there has been a request for such a long time already for a church worker in Peru. Lord, wilt thou provide? Wilt thou call a man from North America? Or wilt thou provide also a Bolivian, a native? Lord, thou art a wonder-doing God. Remember that group. Provide for them that there may be one to guide them and lead them and to teach them the precious truths of thy word. Lord, we pray and beseech thee, remember all elders and deacons. Care for them. Give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, and that thou would help them in all their insufficiencies. For Lord, who are we? We're sons of men. Thou hast called, and we read in thy word as thou hast said, faithful is he that calleth, who will also do it. Lord, may that be our hope and our expectation. Wilt thou provide? Remember us in this week also, when we will have a consistory meeting. Oh, may the congregation be praying for us, and that thou would guide us by thy word and by thy spirit, and that we may lead this flock that thou hast entrusted unto our care, truly, faithfully, according to thy precious word. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Remember also the education of our dear children in the homes and at school. Provide God-fearing teachers. Remember the board. Remember the staff. But may we ask thee especially, bless thy word to the students, to children, to teenagers, and that they may have the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, thou art the faithful God. Thou hast promised that thou wilt work until the end of time. Oh, we beg thee then, work in this congregation. Work in the hearts of older ones, younger ones, children. Renew hearts and draw unto thyself. Remember those in Bethany Care Home. Care for them. And remember all of us in thy mercy. Lord, we have asked thee much. We deserve nothing. But oh, may we beg, may we plead, may we pray upon him, upon that precious Savior, upon his righteousness, and upon his blood. We beg and pray in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 348. 348, the first five stanzas. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before him there. And what follows 348, the first five stanzas, and the collections for this evening is first for the church and the second for Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, are you seeking peace? Maybe you're seeking peace in your family. Maybe you're seeking peace in your class with your friends. Maybe you're seeking peace in the world. But are you seeking peace with God? Are you seeking real peace? True peace? Peace with the Almighty God? There was peace in the beginning of creation. There was peace in the family. There was peace with the neighbor. There was peace with God. Adam and Eve lived in peace with God. They enjoyed peace with God. It was all peace, something we cannot understand because we don't know what real, true peace is, except by grace we have a little taste of it. But they lived in complete, full peace with God. What destroyed peace? Sin. Rebellion against God, sin against the highest majesty in heaven, destroyed all peace. So then there comes that question, how can peace be restored with an almighty holy God? But maybe you have maybe a personal question in your heart. How can I have peace with God? Is that you on Easter? Are you longing for peace with God? Sometimes we hear of peace treaties. That's beautiful, peace treaties. And I say there is once respect. Can God just make a peace treaty with sinful, corrupt men? No, impossible. There's only one way of peace. What is the way of peace? Are you searching, seeking, longing for peace? There is a way of peace. Listen, I will tell you. According to God's standard, the law must be kept absolutely perfectly. No sin. All the commandments, every day, all the time, or no peace. What else? Sin must be forgiven. Sin must be paid for. We must be righteous. God's justice must be satisfied. We must be holy and pure. You say, is this the way to peace? Yes, that's the only way to peace according to God's standard. The sinners hear this. The rich rulers? No problem. Self-righteous Pharisees? Satisfied. Hypocrites? No problem. Almost Christians? No problem. Why? Because they don't see who they are. They're blind. They don't see their sin. They don't see who God is. They don't see God, who He is in His holiness and His righteousness and justice. So they're without grace. They're blind. But those recipients of grace, those who are taught in the heart by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, this standard, they see they only transgress against the law. They need their sins forgiven, but they cannot forgive one sin. They need to be holy, but they're unholy. They need to be righteous, and they're unrighteous. They need to satisfy the justice of God, but it becomes absolutely impossible to meet that standard. And yet they desire it. They want to have peace with God, but it becomes impossible. It all becomes absolutely no way of peace in myself. Is there hope? Is there a way yet? Is there a way yet according to God's standard, according to His requirements? Yes. How? That's Easter, congregation. That's Easter. Easter is a proclamation of peace through another, through one who has kept the law, through one who has paid for sin, who one who satisfied the justice of God. God provided a way of peace for those who have absolutely no way to ever qualify or ever meet that standard of peace. Easter speaks also of God's provision for a way of peace. How? by the Prince of Peace. Who's that, children? Who's the Prince of Peace? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what we read in Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he is our peace. And we read in Colossians 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, he, the precious Savior, the Prince of Peace, he fulfilled all the requirements. He met the standard of God's standard. And in him, through him that was came upon this earth, kept the law, paid for sin, suffered, died, and rose again. In him, that only mediator, there is peace. For those who can find no peace in self and in no other way, it's in him. But what is the way for peace for those poor, needy sinners? We hear there's peace in that precious Savior. What connects that poor, miserable, wretched, unrighteous, unworthy, helpless, hopeless, doubting, fearful, troubled, tried people with that precious Savior, the Prince of Peace? Faith. Faith. Listen to what we read, what Paul wrote in Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Easter, it's a message also of peace. Peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, through God's provided way, through him who purchased peace, who experienced without peace while he's on the cross. He purchased peace by his blood. My friends, poor needy sinners, is there a word that I could speak tonight that could comfort you? Is there words that another person that could speak to you, you who miss peace? Is there? There's no words that I can speak as a man. But there is one who spoke. There is one who spoke, that resurrected Savior. And tonight, as a servant from him, I felt called to speak the word that he speaks again. And may the Lord apply it with power to the hearts. I can only proclaim it, and I need all his help for that. And you need help to listen. But may the Holy Spirit work and bless what he speaks, what he spoke on Easter evening to fearful, doubtful disciples who were missing peace. And congregation, you who are not seeking peace at all, you think you're in peace, and yet you're under wrath, may you hear what you miss. And may you be shaken awake tonight. And may you hear something that is available. And you that are tossed with tempest, may you be comforted with that peace. And may the Lord bless, and that poor needy sinners, through that resurrected Savior, by the power of the Holy Spirit, taste something of peace. That will be to the glory of him and to comfort of wretched sinners. And so I'd like to draw your attention and ask you to the word of God, which we read in John 20, only verse 19. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So far from God's precious word. The theme, the risen Savior proclaims peace to fearful, doubtful disciples. The risen Savior proclaims peace to fearful, doubtful disciples. First, we will consider fearful, doubting disciples missing peace. We read in verse 19, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And we will consider doubting, fearful disciples. Is that you? Second, a risen Savior proclaims peace, especially what we read at the end. Peace be unto you. And so the theme, the risen Savior proclaims peace to fearful, doubting disciples. Fearful, doubting disciples missing peace. and a risen Savior proclaiming peace. Peace. Missing peace. The Lord is risen indeed. The message went out on Easter. And where are the disciples? Where are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they living with joy? Are they living with peace? They're together in a house in Jerusalem. And what's the situation with that house? What do we read? That the doors were shut. The doors weren't only shut, it implies that the disciples had locked those doors. They were securely shut, they were locked. What does that tell us about the disciples? They were living in fear, as we read in this text in verse 90. They were living in fear of those rulers that had captured their master and savior, that they would come now and arrest them, that maybe they would be killed, maybe they would be crucified. And so they have those doors locked, secure. They hear the Savior is risen indeed, and they're living in fear. But let's go to their hearts. What's in their hearts? They were living in fear. They were missing peace. They were doubtful. They were doubtful. They were unbelieving to the message that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He's living, the Prince of Peace. And so the disciples, behind locked doors, hearts, doubtful, unbelieving, and therefore missing peace, fearful. And the Prince of Peace is alive. And there is peace, but missing peace. And the disciples, did they hear that the Lord Jesus Christ was risen, that he was alive? Yes, they were told. They heard. We think in Luke 24, the testimony of Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. And what was their response to the message that the Lord Jesus Christ has risen? Well, we read in Luke 24, verse 11, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So we see fearful, and here we see also a little more into their hearts. Unbelieving to the message. But what does it mean that they thought them as idle tales? You know what it really literally means? It means that it was nonsense to them. That's how you literally translate that. This is what it means. Nonsense. It was foolish. And they heard it. They heard the testimony. They heard the testimony of those others who had seen him risen. The two travelers to Emmaus had just come back. They had come back and they also told them, we saw him and our hearts burned within us. He's alive. He's living. He visited us. He broke bread. We saw it. It's him. He's alive. But they could not convince them either. And so these disciples, fearful and doubtful, behind locked doors. Who are they, children? Who are these disciples? They're children of God. They're sheep of the good shepherd. But they were filled with anxiety, filled with fear, filled with doubt, filled with unbelief. And by this, they were missing true essential peace of Easter. The Prince of Peace was alive. And the disciples, the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples who heard him, who walked with him, were missing this true essential peace of Easter. Can this be true today? Can this be true today? Yes, absolutely. God's people, they also can be so doubtful, so fearful, so filled with questions and doubts. No, faith is not always as it should be. At times there's peace, but then doubt. There's times of assurance, then of much fear. There can be. Also today in the church of God over this earth, there is a mixture. And there also can be many doubtful, fearful disciples, sheep. Is that you tonight? Have you never tasted peace and yet longing for peace in your soul, seeking for peace? Or maybe you have experienced in the past a little something, a little something of peace, of hope in another. But now you're tossed with tempest and not comforted on Easter. Storms, Satan roaring, your heart filled with unbelief. How can it be true? Can it be true with me? Has the Lord ever begun, or is it just all of myself? The church today also, there can be many doubtful, fearful disciples, children sitting behind locked doors. No, not literally as the disciples, but locked doors on their hearts of unbelief. It's easy to read this history and to consider disciples and say, disciples, why don't you believe? Don't you hear it? It's easy to criticize them. But when we learn a little something of ourselves by God's grace, then we can sit beside them at times. Can you? Do you know that in your life? Can you sit beside them? And we are so blessed. We have the full revelation of God's word. All of it. Like the complete history. The history of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know it. We know all these truths. And maybe we can even write them. Maybe we can even explain them. But do we really believe them? Does it bring peace into our soul? Or is it all mixed with fear and doubt? He's a living, precious Savior. He has risen, the Prince of Peace. And they are often missing an essential true peace. Why? It's because of their unbelief, that wretched unbelief. They don't only have sins against God, against His commandments, but they also live with a heart. Faith is a struggle. Faith is tried. It's tried in many ways. And that faith doesn't always burn as a flame. It can be smoke, and it can be so tried, so filled with questions, so filled with doubts, so filled with fear. And it's their guilt. No, we cannot say, oh, good disciples, we cannot say that. We cannot say anything good about unbelief, no. And yet we can understand them, can you? Can you sit beside them? Are you in behind locked doors yourself? Locked doors with unbelief? Doors you just cannot open any way yourself? You know they need to be opened. The Prince of Peace is alive. He has risen. But oh, to believe in Him. And you know you need faith. You know it. But oh, to have faith. A locked door. Fearful, doubting disciples. But what else does this locked door imply? It implies that they had absolutely no expectation of a visit from the precious Savior. And they there, behind that locked doors, are missing peace because of their unbelief. Their locked doors lock out Him also. They miss trust. They miss confidence. They miss peace. And the Lord had spoken to them. The Lord had given a promise, as we read in Mark 8, verse 31. And He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. All those fearful, doubting disciples. But sadly, that's also the case, the experience of many of God's children also today. God speaks to them through His word. He gives a promise. He gives a hope. And maybe then they can believe it and they can have a little joy, a little peace. But then waves come. Satan assaults. Their hearts start to fear. Why? Because they see so much sin. How can that promise be true? How can it be true? How can it be true that precious Savior could ever be mine? And there they sink in all the waves of unbelief, doubts, fears, unbelief. Unbelief grieves the spirit. Unbelief of God's people also grieves Him. And He withdraws, and they miss peace. Sheep of the Good Shepherd tonight on Easter, our unbelief grieves Him. He paid for the sheep. He did everything for them to have peace. And yet, so much unbelief, and our unbelief dishonors Him. But the opposite, faith, God-given faith, it glorifies Him. It honors him. Open your Bible to Romans 4. And we'll read about Abraham and his faith. The faith of Abraham. The Lord spoke. And he believed it. And his faith glorified God. Romans 4, verse 20. Romans 4, verse 20. And the Lord promised him. And he didn't go to human reasoning. No, he believed what God said. His hope and his expectation was in God. And now we read in Romans 4, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And now listen, giving glory to God. Unbelief does not give glory to God. Faith looks to him. Faith hopes in him. Faith glorifies God. What he says he can do. And so we're guilty by nature. We have no faith in God's people. How is our faith? How is our faith in Easter? No, we cannot be hard on these disciples. We cannot look down on them. As wrong as they are. But we can sit beside them. Can we not? Must we not? Must we not? And maybe Easter evening, you've heard it. Maybe you heard some beautiful choirs singing beautiful praises to God. And you sat there. Maybe you listened and read beautiful meditations, beautiful pieces of the scripture which spoke about that risen Savior. But your heart is just closed. And you can't open it. You can't open it. And you need to. And you're guilty. But the Lord, that precious Savior, he is that one that has the power. He is the power. And then often we say, the Lord has forsaken us. But the Lord never forsakes his people. No, it's our guilt. It's our unbelief. The feeling of the disciples of their fearfulness and unbelief is their guilt. The Savior has risen. He spoke, and they should have believed it. Who can break such closed doors? Who can open such doors? Oh, that precious, powerful, living, ever-living Savior, Jesus Christ. May I ask you again, as we began, do you seek peace? Or are you not seeking peace at all? You're just at peace in this world. Seeking peace in the things of this world. Then I must tell you, oh, may it be tonight that you're shaken awake. There's so much peace in another. And you hear about it, but it doesn't even draw your heart. You just want peace in the world. Confess your sin and become a beggar before him, before that Prince of Peace who is able to make you hungry, thirst, and long, but also to give that peace. He is willing and he is able. We read in Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. It's his promise. Child of God, the Lord will never forsake you. Never. We deserve it because of our sin. We deserve it because of our unbelief. But he will never, because his work, he will never, ever forsake. Paul wrote that, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He could forsake us for so many reasons. Because of our sins. Because of that wretchedness that clings to us. But also because of our sin of unbelief. Of not completely believing in him and who he is for wretched Savior. That in him is all our peace. And that we just seek it all in him. Why don't we seek it in him so much? Because we really don't believe it. No, we don't want to say that. But that's really the truth and the core of the reason. That we still try to seek peace with this, peace with that. But may it all become absolutely impossible. And that there may be that beginning, but also that continuum. And that daily looking to him, the Prince of Peace. Oh, he will never forsake his people. Because he's that covenant, faithful Jehovah. And because the risen Savior, he has purchased peace with his blood. With his blood. And so we come to the end of this first thought. And I would like to speak to different people. No, not individuals. But you who are not seeking peace at all in him. Who are you? I need to tell you tonight who you are. On Easter, who are you? You seek everything, peace in yourself, pleasures of the world, no repentance, unbelieving. Who are you? What does God say that you are? What does God say? Listen, Isaiah 48, verse 22. You who only seek peace in the things of this world. You who have never repented. You have never ever believed what God says about you, what he says about himself, and have never had any need for a precious Savior, the Prince of Peace. Listen, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Who are the wicked? Oh, that's those people that don't go to church. No, they're sitting right here tonight. Who are those wicked ones? Absolutely wicked. They are those who have never repented and who have never believed. That's who the wicked are. And yet the Lord says in his word to such sinners, listen, Psalm 34, verse 14, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. What a wonder. He calls them wicked. Calls them wicked. And yet he even calls to them, forsake evil. Forsake evil. Do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And so we come to the end of our first thought. The doubtful, fearful disciples behind locked doors. Peace, you would ask them, is there peace? They would say, it's impossible. It's impossible. We heard he's alive, but it's idle tales, it's nonsense, it's foolishness. And so they are there behind locked doors, locked hearts. Peace seems impossible. Is that you? How can they ever have peace with God? How can sinners, such sinners, ever have peace with God? It will come from him. He will give it. He will come. And that's our second thought, but let us first sing from Psalter 232, stanzas 1 and 2. 232, 1 and 2. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints, but let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. 232, stanzas 1 and 2. The Lord promises to give peace to his people. Open your Bible to Psalm 85, verse 8. He will come. He will speak peace to such unworthy sinners. And he promises, as we read in Psalm 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. So he will speak peace. The disciples, fearful, doubtful, locked doors to their place where they are, but locked doors of unbelief on their hearts. How will the Lord fulfill what he promises in Psalm 85, verse 8? How will he give such sinners peace that it seems so impossible and they even seem to resist it? How? The Lord will come. The Lord can open closed doors. The Lord can open shut hearts of unbelief. He can change enemies into friends. He can conquer hearts. But even that unbelief, even the unbelief of his own people, he can open, he can take it all away. No closed door is an obstacle to that almighty, powerful Savior. But no closed hearts is an obstacle to that Prince of Peace, the risen, mighty Savior. Jesus stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Suddenly, he's in the room. Suddenly he appears. Suddenly he comes. He comes in the midst of this unbelieving, fearful, troubled disciples that should have been rejoicing in the Prince of Peace. While the fearful disciples are gathered, missing peace, and not even seeking peace, maybe. Hopeless. He's dead. He's not alive. Suddenly, the risen Savior comes. He's that good shepherd. That's what you read in these histories. These beautiful histories of that good shepherd. He cared for Mary, that weeping Mary. He visited her. And now he comes to other sheep, the disciples, locked doors. He suddenly just enters. He comes. He cares. He knows exactly what they need. Then comes the question, how did he enter in? And there's so much speculation. Did he come through the door? Did he come through the wall? Did he come through the roof? Does it really matter? Does it really matter? It doesn't matter. We can have many speculations. However, one thing is sure. The Lord Jesus Christ is now in his resurrected, glorified body. A very special, glorified body. The risen Savior. And he's the Almighty One. And he can freely and sovereignly enter into any house, any place, any tractor, any office, any bedroom, anywhere. And he can come. And he can open hearts. Prince of Peace. What a blessed message on Easter. The powerful Savior. Did the disciples ask him? Lord, how did you enter? They didn't ask him. It was a wonder to see him. It was a wonder that he was alive. And we read in other Gospels, they were terribly frightened. But what matters, he came. He visited. He comes. And this is true today. For poor, wretched sinners, he comes. He comes when they're reading the Bible in their office, in their home. He comes to them in church when they're listening to the preaching. He just comes. He enters and he visits. And he cares for them. Cares for them. Did the disciples expect him to come? They didn't expect him to come at all. It was all nonsense, all foolishness, but he comes. And all those poor sinners can be so doubtful, so full of fear. Oh, when will he come? Oh, they miss him, but they don't even expect him to come sometimes. So poor. They should be. But he comes. Suddenly, the precious Savior opens, open shut doors, open hearts, takes away all the unbelief, gives faith, gives it to be active. Oh, that risen Savior, the Prince of Peace. What a precious gospel. What a precious Savior. What hope for helpless, hopeless, unbelieving enemies, wretched sinners. And he's the same today, congregation. He has risen so many years ago. And he visited those disciples. He visited Mary. And he's the same today. Beg him. Beg him to come. Beg him to take away all the unbelief. Beg him to renew your heart if it's still dead. Beg him to visit, to take away. Take away that unbelief. He enters suddenly. He comes with power. He comes with authority. And what does he do? Does he rebuke them? Disciples, you forsook me. Disciples, you said you would never leave me. You would never forsake me. But you all have fled. You were sleeping when I was praying as a worm and no man. When my sweat became great drops of blood and you just fell asleep. You forsook me at the cross. You left me. Disciples, why are you so full of fear? Why are you so anxious? Why are you so unbelieving? What do we read in John? No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't rebuke them. He didn't rebuke Mary. He didn't rebuke them as we read in this gospel. No, he knows exactly what those poor, doubtful, fearful disciples so full of fear need. When he comes, he brings everything that they need exactly to their hearts. He doesn't bring something they don't need, but he brings exactly what they're struggling with. They're missing peace. There's no peace. They have no peace. The Prince of Peace has risen, but they have no peace. And so he speaks. He speaks. Verse 19. Peace be unto you. He speaks it. Jesus speaks to this unbelieving, fearful, unworthy disciples' sheep. He says peace to sinners. You see it? He speaks peace to sinners. No, he doesn't speak peace to righteous people. He doesn't speak peace to those who have perfect faith, because there is none. They only disqualify. They only find in themselves just all sin, nothing. They can't check things off and say, now I'm worthy of peace. No, they never become worthy of peace. They only see their unworthiness of ever having peace. But he comes and he speaks to such sinners. He spoke peace to Peter. Peter was in the room. Peter who denied him. Peter who said, I don't know him. 3 times with an oath. What wickedness. What sinfulness. And yet he says, peace be unto you. What does it mean? What does that word mean, peace? It means favor. It means harmony. It means inner contentment. It means friendliness. It means rest. It means all those words. It's such a full word. Peace. Peace be unto you. Sin brought disharmony. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through his merits, he brings peace. Sin made enmity with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, he brings peace. Peace with God. He takes away the enmity because he was made the object of wrath. He absorbed it all so he could proclaim peace to enemies, to sinners. We only deserve the disfavor of God because of our sin, because of our continual unbelief and wretchedness. But he speaks peace. Peace be unto you. He, through him who experienced the disfavor of God upon the cross, he brings peace. He brings favor with God. Oh, we became so absolutely restless since we left that overflowing fountain of all good. And by nature, we seek rest in so many different ways in the world as the prodigal, or very self-righteous as the Pharisee, seeking rest. And we are without rest. Where's rest? Where's deep, profound peace, real rest in him who had no rest until he came, until he suffered, until he died, until he could say, it's finished. Through the resurrected Savior, that Prince of Peace, there is peace. Peace be unto you. Do you hear it? All the Jews often spoke, and I think they still do, shalom. Shalom. Beautiful word. Peace. But the disciples didn't hear this from a fellow Jew. No, they heard it from the Prince of Peace, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, peace. But what else is precious? What else is precious in this message? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't only proclaim peace, he gives peace. That's the Prince of Peace. He proclaims peace, but he has the power to give peace. And I may be a mouthpiece, and my desire is that you, every one of you, become seekers of true peace, peace with God, and that you're led to that only Savior. And I can only repeat the Word of God and explain it by the guiding and the leading of the Holy Spirit. I cannot bring it where I desire it to go, into your heart. But may the Holy Spirit in the hearing work it. And that Savior, he, by his word and spirit, works peace. He doesn't only proclaim it, he can give it. Is that really true? Let's think of a history in the Bible. Children, you remember when the disciples were on a storm? They were in a boat. And that Sea of Galilee became so tossed with tempest. And then they were afraid, we will perish. And they awoke the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? You remember? Peace, be still. And what happened? It was peace. No more waves. No more storm. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Here we see that he proclaims peace and he can give peace. He can give peace. And to stormy, doubtful, fearful, stormy hearts, tossed with tempest, assaulted on all kinds of sides, and cannot find peace. He has the power to give peace. Peace be unto you. And he has power, and he said it. Open your Bible to John 14, verse 27. John 14, verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. My peace. The Prince of Peace. He merited peace. And he has the power to proclaim peace. And he has the power to give peace. And by the Holy Spirit, wretched sinners receive peace. How is this possible? How is it possible that he can give peace, that he can proclaim peace? Man who rebelled, man who only deserved the wrath of God, how can it be? Because of him. Because of him who suffered, who died. That mediator who came to conquer sin, death, hell, and Satan. And by his life and by his death, he conquered. And he can proclaim peace as the Prince of Peace. True peace, real peace. Upon his righteousness, upon his blood, upon him satisfying the justice of God, he's the Prince of Peace, and he proclaims peace, and he can give peace. Peace be unto you. And all those disciples that we read in another gospel were still so afraid. But what did he do? What did he do? What do we read in verse 20? And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Why did he show them his hands and his side? Why? Why, children? Because that's where he paid for peace. He proclaimed peace, and in this way, he showed peace. And he says tonight, look to me. Look to me, that crucified Savior. Look to me, that pierced Savior. Because in me is peace for those who only deserve wrath. Peace be unto you. When do we read of angels singing peace? Children, teenagers, Luke 2 verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, and goodwill toward men. But now, angels aren't singing about peace. No, on Easter, the risen Savior, the glorified Savior, the resurrected one, the Prince of Peace, he proclaims peace for the first time. How is it possible? Because he has paid for peace. He came to make peace. We destroyed peace, but through his death and through his payment, raised again, and he proclaims peace. What a wonder. Oh, what it cost God the Father, who longed. Yes, he longed. He longed that there would be peace with enemies. What it cost him. It cost him his own dear son. And oh, what it cost Christ to merit peace, that he could proclaim peace. It cost him his life. It cost him his blood. It cost him everything. He became the subject of God's wrath so that he could proclaim peace. But not just peace for a little time, but eternal peace for absolute wretched sinners. And the Lord Jesus Christ gives the example. On Easter, there must be that message of proclaiming peace. And that's also the task of all his servants. Romans 10 verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, there's many false prophets, and they say, peace, 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 when there is no peace. They don't speak the full counsel of God. They don't speak of the necessity, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, regeneration, you must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. He proclaimed also, you must be righteous, and if your righteousness doesn't exceed the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. But he also is that one who said, their righteousness is of me. And he proclaimed redemption, eternal redemption through the Prince of Peace. Congregation, my dear friend, are you seeking peace? Are you seeking real, true, eternal peace with God? It's only in him. It's only in him. Through the Prince of Peace, seek it in him. And in him, there is a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that will never, ever end. Because they'll enter into the land of Prince Emmanuel and forever be living in peace and in harmony. No more sin. Peace with God. Peace with the Savior. Peace with their neighbor in fullness. What a blessed future. Seek it then in the triune God, and may he richly bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit for his glory and the salvation of sinners. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thy word has gone out, and thou hast promised in thy word that it will never return unto thee void. Oh, may that be our hope in all the shortcomings in preaching, in listening. Yet thy word has been proclaimed, thus saith the Lord, also of peace. Oh, wilt thou richly bless it to the awakening of dead sinners. Oh, may they see what they miss, thinking they have peace under a false peace and no peace. And thou hast said, there is no peace for the wicked. But oh, may those who come to see themselves as wicked, lost, wretched, all their sins, may they hear it, may they have heard it from thy mouth by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace be unto you. Lord, may we take thy word with us that we have heard in this day. May we meditate upon it. May we not let the cares of this world choke it out. May we not let the birds of prey pluck it away, but that thou would give thy blessing upon it. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy precious word that can make us wise unto the only way of salvation through thy dear Son, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we then ask that thou would be with us when we hope to sing together as a congregation. Give that we may truly sing with heart and mouth to the honor, to the glory of thy name, because thou art so worthy. Oh, may those songs also be confession of sin. May those psalms also be a confession of a longing, of a waiting people, and that thou would look upon us in mercy. Lord, we deserve nothing, but wilt thou hear us and answer us through thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing now in closing Psalter 77, all five stanzas. O Lord, by thee delivered, I thee with songs extol. My foes thou hast not suffered to glory or my fall. O Lord, my God, I sought thee, and thou didst heal and save. Thou, Lord, from death did ransom and keep me from the grave. Psalter 77, all five stanzas. congregation to receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.